right, everybody, and welcome to Ring Respect Radio right here on the Video Bros Network. You all know my co-host, the man with the angelic voice, Pop Smokes, but we're joined by another great guest at this time. Roberto, welcome to Ring Respect. Thanks for joining us here today. Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man, it's been a long time. We've been wanting to get you on the show here and stuff like that. You've been a big influence on Pop Smokes and I being able to do Ring Respect the way we've done over the last couple of years, helping to, get us started where we were in the business and stuff like that. We wanted to have you on here, talk a little bit about, you know, your time in wrestling, what you got you into it as a fan and everything like that. And then kind of like what you're doing now with some of the training and stuff like that that you've been doing over the years. We want to learn more about Roberto himself. What can you tell us here?
Oh, man, you know, like I started being involved with wrestling and kind of the whole thing. This is a long time now, you know, like it's been on and off and stuff like that. But I think I started watching wrestling when I was like 13 years old. I think I stayed up too late one night and put TSN on, and it was like sitting there. It was Monday Night Raw. I think it was Shawn Michaels versus Yokozuna. I was hooked ever since. Yeah. Wrestling's awesome.
Yeah, true. Albeit from the last couple of years, maybe, but that's one thing we got to maybe mention is COVID's really played a big number on wrestling in general, especially on an independent level. You do a lot of training and stuff like that. Has that completely affected the training situation at the moment?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. As soon as, the pandemic hit, that was pretty much it for training, which is really unfortunate because I feel like we were getting like a really good, fluid motion kind of going on, and things were really moving along really, really well. And yeah, everything kind of just, got derailed. There's not really a lot of, I don't think there's a whole lot of training going on anywhere really. Yeah, it kind of sucks.
Yeah, it kind of depends, I guess, which market you're in and stuff like that, what the rules and stuff are. But in Saskatchewan, we've really been locked down here, nowhere to go. So, of course, the training hasn't happened. I'm sure there's been a lot of calls for people wanting to get involved and get to training and stuff. Have you heard anything about the future for what's going on with COVID-19? If going to be able to get back to doing some sort of training over the next while, what are the restrictions really holding back at the moment?
You know, it's not really necessarily restrictions that are holding it back. I think a lot of it has to do with finding an area that wants to have a lot of people in it. You know what I mean? There's restrictions, but I don't think they want to allow people into a certain building, because of COVID, and fear and all that other stuff. So I wouldn't say that COVID has directly, because people want to get sick or whatever. There's precautions that take in place. There's masks you can wear, and no more than, I think it's 10 people now. They changed it, I think.
Inside out 10 people or something. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's mostly finding, I guess what you would say, like a venue or a place that would allow that kind of stuff. And really that doesn't cost an arm and a leg.
Yeah. It's always tough in this kind of market too.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say it's probably, for me anyway, it's the biggest challenge.
Yeah, for sure, man.
Yeah.
Hopefully it'll get back to something soon. Now, Papa Smokes, anything you want to add there?
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, hasn't COVID been a complete kick in the nuts to wrestling and to any performative art such as music and everything else? I mean, just you can't even have a crowd in the room to do this stuff anymore. And I mean, we were just getting going with our brand new Saskatoon Wrestling Federation when the wheels fell off due to COVID. And yeah, I mean, it's just a waiting game. What a crappy year it's been. And I try and remain positive in my own mind about things, but it just still grates me. I mean, the opportunities that have been lost over this past year. And I mean, talking about training, thinking about the next batch of Saskatchewan and Saskatoon based wrestlers that could have been, a year into their training already or getting something done. And yeah, this has just put a kink in everyone's plans. How shitty, eh?
It absolutely has. I mean, it literally has ruined everything. Like it's just to say that it's puts a pause on stuff is like, it's true. Like, obviously it's true. Everything's kind of on pause now, but I think at this point it's worse than pause, like it's on pause and the pause button stuck. Everyone has to pretty much, I feel anyway, has to start new, like from scratch, like all over again. And there's tons of I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they afford to do it, but there's tons of companies out there that are still trying to run shows in the middle of the pandemic. And I mean, pandemic aside and being like, oh, it's so dangerous or whatever, that aside, like I just financially, I just don't understand how some of these companies are doing it. But yeah. I don't know how guys are getting paid. I don't know if guys are getting paid, and if guys aren't getting paid, to me, that's terrible. That's terrible business. I mean, let's not forget that it's wrestling business, right? It's the wrestling business, the business of wrestling. And the whole idea is to get paid to do your art, if that's what you want to call it. So I hope that nobody's doing it for free. That would be absolutely terrible if that was the case, I feel.
Yeah. And, you know, most of them would love to be able to go out there and just do it for the fun of doing it. But of course, a lot of people have had to make a living off of their art, their professional wrestling and stuff like that. And probably seen it in a lot of the friends that you've come to know over the years and stuff like that, how much this has hurt them and damaged them financially as performers in the business.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I know a bunch of guys that, you know, their life is just wrestling. Like that's their job is wrestling. They don't have like a part-time job or a full-time job or whatever. That's their source of income. So yeah, it's affected a lot of people greatly.
Well, and now with the new travel restriction with Canada and stuff like that, if they do decide to go anywhere outside of Canada, coming back and having to quarantine for, what was it, I believe a week or 2 weeks in a hotel at a cost of $200 per night in that said hotel, I don't know any wrestler wrestling in Canada right now that could afford that kind of return home.
I don't know anybody with a job that can afford that. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's wild, man. It's just, it needs to come to an end. We need to get back to some sort of normalcy. And I mean, it's good to see that hopefully this is the tail end of it. We'll get back to there this year, start seeing things happening and stuff like that. Definitely looking forward to that time. I want to go back to, I think we lost him here for a minute. Well, there you go. Oh, you're back. Okay. So with everything said, I want to go back to the training. At what point in your career did you decide that training the new breed of professional wrestlers was going to be the right path for you?
Aside from like being directly in the business, you know, which is not really my bag or anything like that. I enjoy teaching. I enjoy it. Like it's, you get to a certain age, right? Especially in professional wrestling, I feel that when, not necessarily you should hang it up or, you know, stupid shit like that, but you should probably start thinking, well, I don't want to bump as much. I don't want to get body slammed on the floor or anything like that. You know what I mean? Like you just don't want to, I don't know. You're just not at your prime anymore. So you want to pass off the knowledge that you have, and hopes of saving the business the way it was a little bit, if that makes sense.
As much as you can in a modern era anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I like when I came into the business, it was very, 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 very different than what it is today. In so many different ways, it just kind of sounds stupid, but it's hard to explain, you know, like, the respect and stuff is there and all this and all that, but like, the actual performance of professional wrestling is just vastly different. I don't know how to explain it. You know, there's not a lot of storytelling anymore. It's all just like, oh yeah, let's just see if we can get these fans to cheer for us.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, and I feel that like I kind of grew up learning just how to tell a story, not necessarily how to do a lot of flips or, you know, spin on someone's head. And I don't know. I don't know how to do a lot of that stuff, but I do know, I feel like I could tell a story and I want to be able to transfer that knowledge to somebody else. So the business doesn't completely just go to shit.
Yeah. And I mean, that's great advice too. At the same time, I mean, we obviously, myself and Pop Smokes, I've been watching for quite a few years, quite a long time ago. I mean, mine was late 80s, early 90s when I first started tuning in. Papa Smokes, I mean, who even knows how far back that guy goes and stuff like that, but it's all good. I mean, we understand that. I mean, we've talked about it a lot on our show as well, too, about just that whole build. And it doesn't have to be a big fleshed out storyline like some people are expecting that they saw all through the Attitude Era. Just having a reason for two guys to have a dislike for each other and building towards that fight that they need to have and fleshing it out in the ring and stuff like that and telling a story emotionally and stuff like that through action and everything. And a lot of that I think can catch on and be done if the right people are passing it along. And unfortunately, it's not seen everywhere.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think in this day and age, you know, as wrestling kind of progressed from like the Attitude Era to whatever era they called their eras, the fans seem to have a little bit more power in choosing what happens in the business. You know what I mean? And I don't know how that started. Maybe it was, you know, a lot of independent guys doing some flashy stuff and fans thought it was cool. So, you know, they reeled them in and that's that. But it's, yeah, I don't know, man. Like it's not the way it used to be. That is for sure. I don't know how else to explain it. I'm not a big fan of modern day wrestling, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I honestly think that a lot of the problems started when, you know, that the common people that are going to start wrestling and becoming involved in the business always look up to the larger companies for inspiration of how to do this. And I think that's where the disconnect started, is that the common fans and the new wrestlers that were coming up started to see some of this horseshit on TV that was like overbooked feuds, overbooked matches with all kinds of silliness and comedy and all kinds of huge spots. And of course the young people are going to imitate the professionals, so to speak, that they see on TV. And this has also come through the business in terms of promoters as well, that think that it's too much time to learn the whole ins and outs of the wrestling business, how to book. I mean, think of even in the 70s and 80s, how few bookers there were in all of professional wrestling. Now there's a million companies and these guys just do their booking themselves or leave it up to the boys. The boys, I mean, the boys and girls, the wrestlers, of course. And a lot of them have hotshotted themselves in order to make quick, immediate money. But they're doing harm to the professional wrestling business in general and their own business in the long run by hotshotting booking all the time. And that's just become the norm, I think, now, so that we don't have the elaborately set up storylines that we used to have. We don't have the nice storytelling inside each match. It's now the talent trying to get themselves over so they can get cheers from this crowd, but also get booked at the next show for getting their shit in. And they got to get all their shit in order to be noticed, because I got a triple flip from the top and I got this backwards thing that I do off the top rope as long as everybody's standing there to catch me. And they do this shit in every single match now. And it just now means nothing to the rest of the card, to the rest of the year. I think you have to book a wrestling company not only in the following weeks coming up, but the months and the years. And it's just not set to that model isn't set to do it like that. And that's what's hurting the business in a large part, I think.
Oh, I agree. I mean, I couldn't have said it better myself, really. You know, it's funny that you mentioned bookers. Like, are there, if you sit back and think about it, really, like on a main, like a high level of professional wrestling, you know, like, let's say like the WWEs and AEWs and all them, like, are there really bookers anymore?
Yeah. I don't even know. Like, I couldn't say. Oh, I know in WWE, they have a creative team, which hires TV writers to write a TV show, but these aren't wrestling people and they don't understand the business.
I mean, the same thing with that happened at the end of WCW, right? I mean, like, writing television and had nothing about the business whatsoever. Yeah. I personally, I don't think there is such a thing as a booker anymore. At least not on that level of professional wrestling, right? Like you said, they all sit at a table, they all throw really stupid fucking ideas at, you know, whoever is listening. And they're just like, let's just put that on TV. Cause that's what is you're getting on TV.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, been that way through the whole year. I mean, just look at
current. Like, it's just, and it's almost like the WWE is shitting on themselves on purpose. And they're like, oh, this is getting over and people are really liking it. Oh, well, let's just fucking squash it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's squash what's on. And then, you know, you flip the channel to Wednesday nights. And the only thing they're missing is a net and fucking swinging bars from the ceiling on both the shows.
It's it. So, they failed to remember what wrestling used to be and what made it great in the first place, because I believe they listened to this niche amount of fans that you get on Twitter and social media and stuff like that, that tend to all agree to, you know, love one certain thing and they will push passionately about it. And they allowed this, in my opinion, to essential. Oh, sorry. I think we lost him.
Nope, sorry.
There he is again. All right. Hey, yeah. So. So that's what, as I was putting, I just think that they listen to this niche amount of fans on social media. Oh, we're losing them again. There we go. So they listen to this niche amount of fans on social media and they take what they're saying as gospel. And it shows in the amount of people that are actually tuning in and viewing a lot of the shows nowadays. When you're turning out numbers on Wednesday nights at less than 1 million viewers per show, I mean, this is not showing good for the wrestling profession. People say, okay, well, the key demographics are great, but the key demographics would be a lot better if you had 3 million viewers instead of 500 to 750,000 viewers.
It's, you know, I don't really think the WWE at this point, or Vince or whoever you want to like kind of point your finger at, or, you know, like, I don't really think they care about ratings.
No,
I really don't. I don't think they could give two shits about 750 million, 100 fucking million, you know, like they don't care. Like, they're getting money thrown at them left and right. You know, like Peacock bought the network.
Yeah.
Fox, they got put on Fox. Like, what money, like, why would they care about ratings?
Yeah. And then they'll probably go sell the whole company to Disney in 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, really, like they have so much money. Like, I mean, look at their roster alone. Like, how much money are they just throwing away on, like, they just, like, I don't even know, like, hundreds of wrestlers that they have? Like, yeah. They have to, got to be three digits of wrestlers that they have easily.
Yeah, and most of them not doing anything.
And, yeah, I was going to say, half of them sitting at home or watching the show from this, you know, the back with a mask on. It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, they might be on one of the smaller shows that air on the network. I'm not sure. I don't tune in anymore. I don't know where half the roster is, but you go look online, like, holy shit, they're still there. And they're probably getting, I mean, I know they're not making huge money. I mean, we're talking wrestling. Nobody's making huge money in wrestling unless your name is Brock Lesnar. But I mean.
Oh, well, I'm not necessarily sure about that. I mean, people that aren't on TV are making pretty damn good money for doing absolutely nothing.
Well, fair enough. For doing absolutely nothing, yeah, I mean, I'd take their job too, for sure.
Yeah, you know, like, that's, it's nuts. It's nuts. It's just crazy how, I don't understand how wrestling is, in my opinion, again, is so bad, but, like, it's almost as popular as it's ever been.
It is weird like that. I mean, again, it comes down to that. The fans that are passionate about it are passionate about it all the time. And they will even defend the garbage that's produced to no end and stuff like that. And it's amazing how they'll jump from one to another. You see the fights with WWE and AEW fans, and they've got these guys talking about WWE sucks, AEW's awesome. But, you know, AEW's just producing another version of what WWE was already doing. And all their arguments really don't make a whole lick of sense in the grand scheme of things. Neither company's good. They're all producing absolute garbage, trash television. It's not even good TV, let alone good wrestling right now.
See, and that kind of brings me to another point. We were talking about storylines, right? Like, no one's really producing storylines, which, I mean, it's not necessarily true, right? They do have, Raw has a couple storylines, not a lot, to be fair, but, like, they usually have one or two major storylines that they kind of follow. Half the problem is that the storylines are being, like, played out by people that suck.
Yeah.
Well, you know, like, they just suck. It's not that I'm on a toot my own horn. I'm saying that it's everything, but, like, as a fan watching television, I think that I have earned a right to say, over the years of watching professional wrestling and being a fan of professional wrestling, to be like, that guy sucks at what he's doing. Like, he's very bad at what he's doing. Like, I'm watching TV and he's not good. And I've watched wrestling for a very long time. Right. It's like watching a TV show when you're like, oh yeah, the first season was way better than the third season or the rest of the seasons. It's like, yeah, these guys just suck. Like, you know, like it doesn't matter what story you give them, they suck. And then they go on the computer and they're typing, I'm so sick of not being on TV. It's because you suck. Like, you're not good. That's why you're not on TV.
But I mean, case in point proven with some of the jumps that have gone from WWE to AEW, thinking that they were going to be, you know, the next big star and stuff like that. And they seem to have fallen off TV altogether in that whole jump.
I don't think that. Like the guys that jumped over, I'm sure, like, let's say Miro, for example, he jumped over and like, who the fuck is that guy?
Yeah. Well, especially now, who gives a shit? Like,
he had something going good with, like, you know, when he was getting a good push, but like, it's not like they stopped pushing him because he was good.
No. Yeah. You know, you start to notice all these guys that Vince really didn't seem to care about all that much. It's proven when they get the, you know, a little bit of freedom with the decisions on what they're doing, how terrible they truly can be.
Yeah. I mean, if you take a look at it, like, do you like what was his name? Rusev. Do you like Rusev from his like first run, like WrestleMania against Cena on a tank. Right. And like him playing fucking video games.
I want to rewind time back to WrestleMania against Cena personally.
Like, what the fuck? Like, how can anybody be like, oh yeah, that's a great gimmick and I'm going to make some, oh wait, I'm already making a shit ton of money. I can do whatever the hell I want.
Yeah. It's pathetic at this point. It is just guys doing whatever the hell they want. And it's a la WCW 2000 as they were coming to an end.
Oh yeah. I mean, they're kind of like the guys that wrestle that never really wanted to get trained to wrestle. Right. That got booked with a big company or started their own big company and it got really popular and everyone's just like, yay, like you're super awesome at what you do because you were successful in having a company, but like the wrestling still fucking sucks.
Yeah.
It just fucking sucks.
Well, to use Miro as an example too, I mean, here's a guy that got signed by WWE without any wrestling background, but look at the guy. He looks like a brute. He looks like a caveman. He looks like he could rip most people right in half with his bare hands. So you're going to sign this guy. But he sat down in developmental for, what was it, 3 or 4 years? The guy was, he was basically not getting the hang of it whatsoever. They gave him a run. They gave him a push. And we've talked about pushes before. A lot of the times when you get a push, it's because you need one and they want to sell some of your merch. And it's not moving, so they got to give you an angle of some kind to get you over because you can't get yourself over. Right. So, okay, we got this Bulgarian brute who looks like some kind of an Olympic wrestler or weightlifter or something. He moves over to AEW, and, you know, they say, what do you want to be? And he says, well, I want to be the real me. I'm a gentle guy. I'm into Disney and video games, so I'm just going to be that. And to the viewer, it's like, what the hell are you doing, man? You look like a fucking brute, like you could kill someone, or you're out here acting like a nice guy or talking soft and everything. It just doesn't it doesn't connect for me. I don't know why you would do that when you have that look already. You could be over as a brute.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing, right? Like, these guys want to just make money being themselves, essentially, right? You know, and like, sorry, that's not that one. Again, when I broke in, that's not what wrestling is about. Sorry. Yeah, that's not what professional wrestling is about. It's not about you just being like, oh yeah, you know, like, here's Roberto. I'm going to put on, like, I don't know, like a fucking ski pants and a flower shirt and be like a douchebag and, you know, whatever. Like, it's just, it's, that's not how it is. You, especially in the level of the WWE, right? You can wrestle. There's not a thing. I think with the Performance Center now, there isn't a person in there that can't wrestle, right? Like, they can go through the motions. They can take the bumps and do a suplex and all that other stuff. But like, you can't be you because, sorry, you don't make money. You suck. You know, like, yeah.
And fans don't want to pay to see the real you. They want the pumped up version of you. They want the ideal version. Who want to fantasize about these people, about how cool and strong and what good wrestlers they are. We don't care about your video games and your sweatpants and everything else coming out here. We want to see the wrestler.
That's right. That's exactly right. I mean, like, we all know that, like, Bray Wyatt, his face isn't actually melted. Yeah. Right. Like, he's playing a role, whether it's a good role or a bad role, either way, like, he's trying to do his best. They gave him a ball and he's rolling with it. And it's interesting. I'd rather watch Melty Face Fiend over, you know, jacked up Eminem looking Miro. Yeah.
That's fair, as long as we don't have to watch Fiend inside the ring anymore.
Oh God, I'm over shit. What's he going to be next?
Yeah,
how does that
concept,
story?
The concept was cool at first. It was an okay concept, interesting. The dude can talk, but man, Bray Wyatt has zero charisma once he gets inside the ropes. I mean, it's void of anything.
How can he show any charisma when, you know, like half his he's literally his whole body's a fucking mask now. Yeah. Like, they managed to put a hood over his entire body. So even he's like, I saw the gimmick he did with the melty face, and like, he looks like he can barely move. Like, they have him in like a whole giant, like, body condom costume. And like, what's he supposed to do? Like, he can't dance. He can't say anything in the mask. Like, everyone's like, yeah, the Fiend and Bray Wyatt, he's so good at being the Fiend, but like, he's digging a hole that he can't get out of. Where the fuck does he go after this?
Watch the cinematic bullshit they pull on the weekend. I'm telling you, man, that's not Bray Wyatt in that suit.
He'll be reborn or something.
Yeah. Why? It's Bo Dallas. It's Bo Dallas in the fucking suit. Bray's going to come out as something else.
Oh, my God.
And then there'll be some sort of fucking three.
Bo Dallas still.
Yeah, he still works there. Yeah, that's what I was getting at earlier. It's like, a guy like that works there on the roster. He's better in the ring than his fucking brother, and he's sitting there doing nothing.
That's a good. It's a good paying job.
Yeah, it really is.
Jesus.
But I mean, again, like, I mean, again, the cinematic stuff is just what's killing it too. I mean, well, let's talk about that for a minute. We've talked about that on the show endlessly over the past year and stuff like that. I mean, everybody seemed to be high on it at first, but I mean, there is nothing good about the cinematic style of professional wrestling. I mean, occasionally the odd thing once in a while is all right, but 90% of it is just no good. It's not fun. It makes it look stupid. There's no point to it a lot of the time. I mean, we both said we liked last year at WrestleMania. There was the match with AJ Styles, The Undertaker. Cinematically, that one was reasonable. That was okay. It had a little bit of thought to it. But now all this stuff they're pulling off with the Fiend, the burning and stuff, they're going for that pop factor that we're talking about, and that's all that anybody wants. They want these little spots they can pop about, jump on Twitter, get trending for their 5-10 minutes of fame and stuff like that, and then just fizzles out immediately afterwards.
You know, it's kind of like it's kind of like AEW and WWE are the same way, like, but different, right? Like, the WWE does shit like that, you're right, for like pop factor. They want, well, not pop factor so much as like video clip factor, you know, like, what can they put together in a video package?
They'll make you pop when you're on the Thunderdome watching it, though.
Yeah, you know, like, it's kind of crazy, because like, the WWE wants like the pop factor, but in like video clip forms, like memories, you know, they're always like, oh, what's your WrestleMania moment and shit like that, right? That's super important in the WWE. So like, they're super high on doing shit like that to make moments, like, yeah, look at this moment, the Fiend got burned alive and shit like that. And AEW just wants to make the people pop by doing anything. Yeah. Like, short of like kicking a baby on TV to get up, right? Like, that's what they're willing to do. So it's kind of like the same thing. The WWE's like, oh yeah, let's do this. So let's burn this fucking guy in the ring. Okay. Like, okay, it's like, what do you do from there? And now they bring him back. So you're going to kill him again? You're going to burn him alive, run him over with the steam? Like, what are you going to do? With Bray Wyatt, slowly. And he probably makes it pretty good, though. I mean, he makes a lot of money. I would assume he's probably one of their top paid talent. And he doesn't work very much.
No, not at all, really. I mean, when was the last time he actually wrestled a match? SummerSlam?
I think it was actually when he got burned.
Yeah, that was at SummerSlam. He's been back for what, 2 weeks now, if that.
I think he was gone for 9 months or some 9 or 10 months.
Yeah.
Hey, like, if pitch that idea. Okay, man, like, we're going to burn you alive and you're just going to be off TV for 9 months.
Yeah. We'll let a 100-pound, 5-foot-tall girl do all your stuff there for you.
Yeah, and do it terribly.
Yeah, exactly. She doesn't.
It's better than watching her wrestle.
Oh, don't get me wrong. It's bad enough watching what she does as it is, but then she goes and does this Fiend shit, and then next thing you know, she's on her podcast 2 minutes later that's also on the network, and she's sitting there talking about her fangirl times, loving the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC and shit like that. This is what kills it for me, is going and seeing what these people do after the fact. If you're a badass wrestler doing some sort of crazy gimmick like that, why the fuck are you being yourself on the same network doing these kind of goody-goody podcasts afterwards?
And it's gone, right? Like that part of professional wrestling, I think, you know, like when I mentioned earlier about trying to keep what little bit of the business there is left, I think that part of the business, the kayfabe or whatever, it's been completely dissolved. Like and if it hasn't, it's at a very low point where having it come back is just very unlikely. If it does come back, I think it'll be in as like a gimmick, you know, like as a fad. Oh yeah, let's bring kayfabe back and it'll be a fad for a little bit. And
yeah,
I think it's gone though. I really do. And you're right though. It's a tragedy. I mean, like, that's kind of the whole point of, it was the whole point of the business. I was going to say, like, I saw Alexa Bliss on, I think it was Instagram, and it was like a picture of her all creepy demon-y looking. And then like the next page is like, with her boyfriend. Oh, he's so cute or something like that. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me right now?
Yeah. I mean, it suspends disbelief. I mean, again, all modern fans know what's going on to a certain degree, know enough to know that, okay, she's not actually possessed. The Fiend didn't actually get burned, all this kind of shit, or any of the things going on. They're smart enough to that. But the part that kills it is doing these things afterwards, the podcasts and stuff. If they want to have a podcast, feature somebody on the roster that maybe isn't currently doing something else that they could put into a podcast format that fits that role currently, that keeps that enough of kayfabe alive that we don't have to keep suspending disbelief every time we turn on a program these days.
Do you know how disappointed I was when I found out that like Mankind didn't actually live in fucking boiler rooms? Like, that was so upsetting. Me as a child, I was like, what the fuck? This guy doesn't live in boiler rooms? Yeah. Fuck you, man. And you're a liar.
Yeah, well, I mean, it'd be safe for me wondering about why Brett and Owen didn't actually hate each other back in the day. It was kind of disappointing.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I feel the same way, though. Like, it's cool that people, you know, the whole point of professional wrestling, in my eyes, is to you know, suspend disbelief, to try and make people believe that, you know, and it's so not that anymore. It's just the complete opposite of, you know, oh yeah, it's, you know, without using the F word, like, it's so, you know, it's not real and blah, blah, blah. And it's, yeah, okay. But like, do we have to just, like, do we have to pander to that notion, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So stupid. So stupid.
The business is a lot different now too. I mean, talk even back to maybe the 80s in the sort of territory, dying days of the territories and before, a lot of that kayfabe stuff and other aspects of the business were kind of dictated through the boys, again, by the boys, I mean the wrestlers, policing themselves. And a lot of that was done through physical threats and intimidation. And the world's different than that now. People don't put up with that kind of stuff anymore. But and the same thing, people call it gatekeeping now, by the way, that promoters and trainers used to just weed out those who were weak and not willing to put in the work and not willing to subscribe to kayfabe and such like that. And now you hear so much talk about, glad that there's no gatekeeping anymore. But in a way, the business was stronger when they had that. again, some of their methods of maintaining that were a little bit barbaric by today's standards, that, you know, you just get your ass kicked for doing some of the stuff on Instagram or whatever. But obviously it doesn't work like that anymore. But I think something's lost since then, too, in the way of kayfabe. I think the fans have always known that something was up with wrestling about, you know, the legitimacy of the fights and such. But you can still suspend your disbelief if the people involved, the wrestlers involved, are bringing you into this with convincing performances.
Yeah. Yeah. And you said it again, right? Convincing performances. And there's not a lot of them anymore.
Yeah.
You know, like, you watch a lot of the stuff on TV now, and like, it's super cool that these guys are very talented and very athletic. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, like, good for them. Like, I can't do any of that shit. You know, like, I just can't. Like, I have trouble walking up the stairs, for fuck's sake. So, you know, like, it's good for you, but like, where, like, there's just no storytelling. Even like, even if you're not even talking long-term storytelling, right? Like long-term angles and shit like that. But like, even like, if you were to watch the second match that has no storyline behind it, no angle behind it or anything like that, like, you should still be able to go in the ring and tell a story in the ring between those two people that are supposed to be competing against each other for a win. And that, it's, there isn't that anymore. Like, it's been a very long time since I've seen wrestling like that. You know what I mean? Like, especially on TV, like, especially on television. I don't see a lot of it anymore. Like, AEW toted for a long time, yeah, wins are going to matter. When was the last time wins actually mattered on that show, or they took advantage of it or anything? You know what I mean? Like, they just fell into the same kind of groove, like you said earlier, that the WWE's in.
Yeah, exactly. And it's why, even for us, we've tuned out of that kind of stuff and focused in on more of the independent things and some of the shows that you can get available on YouTube, which we feel are trying to keep that a bit more alive, trying to do a little bit more of that fleshed out storytelling, both in the ring and with long-term booking as well, too. We're seeing a lot of great things out of the NWA and MLW, a lot of these independent companies coming up that are really pushing for bringing that back, and it's really starting to pay off for a lot of them too. Also seeing it with a lot of the overseas talent, a lot of the companies in Mexico like AAA and stuff like that, Dragon's Gate in Japan now coming over and doing things with MLW as well too. I mean, there's a lot of great stuff going on. It just, it's hidden right now.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, you know, the pandemic doesn't really help that. You know, I don't know a lot about that stuff. You know, like, I stopped watching wrestling for a while now, you know, to be honest with you. I'd say just a little past the pandemic, a little after the pandemic, I stopped watching. And I couldn't watch stuff on TV anymore. And I'm not really educated in, you know, finding like small independent companies other than the ones that I already know about locally. You know what I mean?
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, no, anyways, with that being said, we've run quite a long time here, so I think we're going to wrap it up for the day. But again, Roberto, thank you for joining us on Ring Respect here today. It's great having you as a guest. We should do this more often.
Yeah, I totally would do this more often. Absolutely.
Awesome. Yeah, well, let's make it more of a great more of a regular thing here. So thanks for being on the show. Papa Smokes, as always, has been great. And thank you to everyone for tuning in.